It's 2:35 on a Saturday afternoon. I'm parked at 17th Avenue and Willetta Street, which is not too far from the historic Arizona State Fairgrounds, where at the Coliseum around 4 p.m., Donald Trump is scheduled to speak. And earlier today, I stopped by an anti-Trump rally at Encanto Park. I caught the tail end of some speeches. I heard a lawyer talk about immigrant rights and an immigrant, I presume, talk about being, in his words, unfairly treated by the Phoenix Police Department. He had an interpreter. It was very interesting and educational. I had a great conversation with a local artist, Rob, I may mispronounce his last name here, McElwain. He said it in a way that I didn't think the spelling indicated. But if you want to find him on Facebook, I'll just tell you, it's Rob, last name McElwain. He had some very cool protest signs, and there's tons more on his Facebook. Apparently, he sets up in downtown Phoenix every day outside of the Wells Fargo Bank building, and he just talks to people about their experience with law enforcement, their opinions on Donald Trump. He himself was very easy to talk to and not in any way assertive or aggressive. I have my Monkees t-shirt on, which isn't uncommon at all. And so we ended up talking about Harry Nilsson and the Monkees for a little bit as well. Great guy. Cool art style. And I just posted some examples on my Instagram at AmazingAZComics. You know, and I say in that caption, and I'll reiterate here, just to remove myself from opinion politically and only to assert this from an artistic or creative standpoint, because that's why I'm here, love it or hate it, this work, the turbulent times that we're living in now and that we remember and glamorize from the 60s and then again from the 40s with World War II, these turbulent times inspire episodic artwork that, like I wrote, sees the light of day disproportionate to the amount of time spent making it. In other words, artists spend hours, days, and nights generating, some might call it propaganda, but it is generally speaking artwork inspired by the time. And it's out and available and on display, and in some cases for sale, for a very limited period of time as far as its significance. And then after that, it just becomes history and perhaps outdated, even insignificant, if not only to time mark a period. But that's what Rob reminded me of and kind of taught me as we were talking. He didn't assert that agenda, but that's what I gleaned from our conversation, is he spends a lot of time working on this very specifically themed anti-Trump, anti-Sheriff Arp stuff. And, you know, even if Trump wins the presidency, the work then becomes valid for maybe another 8 years, for however much longer Arpaio's in office. As soon as he's out, Rob's stuff is done. There's nowhere else to put it other than to remember the protests Arpaio faced while sheriff. So it's just interesting, you know, that it doesn't have a timeless quality like, say, the Sistine Chapel or Mona Lisa or Warhol's Campbell soup cans. You know, it isn't something you could display forever and have the same impact as it does right now in this moment. Now it's current, relevant. In the future, it'll be reflective and nostalgic. Anyway, that's what I'm getting from the conversations I've had. There was a lady I talked to as well, very nice lady, that just comes to these things and brings water to people. She drove to downtown Phoenix from Chandler and just brought a cooler of water. Of course, she was supportive of the anti-Trump cause, but, I mean, she didn't have signs or anything. Just some refreshment for folks. So I'm saying that because, and she was very nice to talk to, for public perception that Trump supporters are getting violent as perhaps they think their opponents are when it comes to rounding up immigrants and shipping them out of the country. You know, that's perceived as a very violent, and in one protester's case, she quoted Donald Trump. She said Donald Trump was murderous. That was a quote that kind of got some airtime not too long ago. And so, too, conversely, Perhaps ironically, Trump supporters are becoming known as being violent and aggressive as well. The folks I've talked to so far, definitely not the case. And in Arizona to boot, bucking trends, people. Kind of refuting the public perception, the popular opinion of what you might encounter here. Now, that was just a small pre-rally gathering. Like I said, now I'm sitting on 17th Avenue and Willetta Street near the Coliseum where Trump is scheduled to speak soon. I found some free parking here. Otherwise, the area around the Coliseum and the state fairgrounds has your typical $3 to $10 parking lots. It's like the state fair or the county fair when they set those pay-to-park lots up. Rather not pay to park, so I'm over here, and perhaps that's my protest, is I will not pay to park. I want my vehicle to sit somewhere for free, because my tax dollars, darn it. I'm nearby here. I'm just killing a little bit of time in my air-conditioned truck, because when I walk outside, I'm going to be in 110, 112 degree heat, like so many other protesters and supporters of Trump are already. Just driving here, I saw several cars waving Mexican and Arizona flags out their windows. There are Trump shops set up around the perimeter of this area, probably at about a quarter mile out and moving in. These Trump shops, I've seen them around town. Trump shops are like little easy-up tents full of Trump T-shirts and paraphernalia and political propaganda stuff, you know, typical of a presidential race. Pins and stickers, I presume. And it's just on the side of the street. Now, I don't remember seeing that in years past. I don't remember seeing, like, the Obama shop, though that has a cool ring to it, too, where you would just pull over and buy your Obama shirt. I could be wrong, but it's interesting that that's happening down here, almost like, again, a festival or a concert kind of atmosphere in that regard. I thought about setting up a table down here and doing caricatures, but I didn't want to attract attention. This is more of a research and recognizance mission for me, just kind of getting my feet on the ground and being among the people. It's so stupid to say, but I'm just observing as an artist that creates a comic book about, Arizona conflict in Phoenix, and today is a great example of that, so that's why I'm here. And that's why I'm recording these impressions. I'll probably put them up as a podcast, but at the very least, I want to make sure I remember this. And I'm going into this with a bit of optimism. Again, having talked to some nice people already and seeing a police presence here, to me, that's a positive thing. Just as much for the protesters as any that may stand against them. Their job is to protect and serve. So call me naive if you have a contrary opinion, but walking into this thing, I feel like the police are here just to make sure nothing happens. You know, it's kind of like when you go to work. And wouldn't your ideal day at work be doing as little work as possible? I think that's how a lot of policemen feel, too. They would rather clock in, do as little work as possible, and go home. So I would imagine that a lot of these guys are standing out here, you know, covered head to toe, by the way, in 112 degree heat. So if that's not getting under their skin already, kind of pissing them off, they got to stand out here and just hope that nobody does anything stupid. And at the end of the day, they just want to clock out and go home. That's my opinion of the police, that they want to do as little work as the rest of us would like to do. So I'm here as an observer, hoping to fulfill that dream for them. No problem, no trouble. Watch, take some pictures, talk to people, and get the heck out of here. Again, having not paid a cent for parking. So I'm going to head out there now and probably record another audio segment when I'm done checking out the scene here. It's 2:45. Trump is scheduled to arrive in an hour and 15 minutes. He's coming from Vegas, I presume. That was an 11 a.m. speech, if I remember correctly. So he does that for an hour, hour and a half, shakes some hands. And I don't know if he's getting on a plane or driving, but I would imagine that it would be about the same amount of time at this point. Driving would probably take a little longer if he wanted to get here by four. So he's probably jumping on his private jet and just landing here a 45-minute flight. But from wherever he spoke in Nevada, to the drive to the airport, land, drive from Sky Harbor Airport to here. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That could be an exact 4 hours between. But even as I'm recording this, I look in my rearview mirror and I see on the street behind me some people waving Mexican flags and stuff. So I'm excited to get out there just to see what the vibe is. If there isn't a lot going on, I'm just going to come back to the car and chill in some AC for a little bit. But if it's exciting enough out there, I think that'll distract me from the heat long enough to do the hour and 15, hour and a half that's left here before his arrival. And then call it a day. Get out of here before the traffic picks up again. Just like a county or state fair. So maybe somebody has some turkey legs out there too. That'd be great. All right, here we go. Talk to you later.
Only in ones with a price tag on it that's forbidden by the parade. That's the thing.
Look, in Saudi Arabia, you can be executed for being a gay man. Did you know that?
Saudi Arabia is a terrible government.
Right, it's
like
a terrible
many
government.
Other
and you know what? It's also the keeper
I don't really
of the
like
House
any
of
Saud.
It's also the keeper of Islam. That's why
Mecca and Medina are in Saudi Arabia.
Right, and that's they make.
That's
look,
true.
It's in the Bible.
But it's a terrible
Testament.
Government.
I agree, it's a horrible government.
You know,
and they treat women horribly.
Yes, they do.
All right, and they treat gays horribly.
Yes, they do.
And I mean, you can't deny that.
No, I don't
right?
deny that.
And they
at all.
Are an Islamic government. It's that simple.
They call themselves.
Well, you know what? They use the Quran. They use the Quran as their Bible.
Their interpretation.
Well, whatever you say that. But hey, look, ISIS. They're murdering more Christians and fellow Muslims than they are Americans. That's a fact.
ISIS kills more
yeah,
Muslims
far.
Than anybody.
Oh yeah,
that
by
is
far.
True.
All right. And yet you want to define. They are quoting your book. When they do it.
They're twisted interpretation.
But they're quoting your book. They're reading your book and pointing to the actual verses. They are. Now, you can say it's not right, and maybe you're right. I don't know. You're a Muslim. I don't know. What I'm telling you is these people are using the very same books that you read to say it's okay to kill us.
Christians do the same thing.
Yes,
with the Bible.
They do. The doctrine
you know what?
Of discussion.
Look, I mean, you want to talk about something that happened 1,200 years ago? Okay, whatever. Right? But I want you to know all those gay men that died in that club,
land.
They were killed by a Muslim.
The guy was
they were killed by a
fanatic.
Muslim.
It was a sick fanatic.
Uh-huh, but they were killed by a Muslim sick fanatic.
He was not
right?
practicing.
There are
practicing,
fanatics
yeah, yeah.
Who
target
are
practice.
Sick in other
according,
too.
No, according to
I'm
his wife and his co-workers, he wasn't a practicing
he doesn't
Muslim.
Right?
Represent
and
all
so,
of
oh yeah, and they would.
So
fly,
what you
right?
just heard were my thoughts before the protest outside of the Trump rally on Saturday and some audio I captured at that protest. It's Monday now, and I've had a few days to think about the experience. I blogged about it at karaokefanboypress.com. So in the interest of you going to read that article, I don't want to repeat too much of that content here, only to reiterate that I am delightfully surprised at how nonviolent the protest was. It was loud and sometimes verbally aggressive, but at no time did I see a protester physically confront anybody going into the Trump rally. And that defies expectation. That's not the narrative the news has been telling us. We have been led to believe that these things are riotous. But I gotta tell you, I was there for 2 hours, and at no time did I see anybody lay but a hand of friendship on one another. And when I saw that, interestingly enough, it was between two presumed combatants. Now, when I say combatants, you'll read in the blog post, I describe these rap battle-like debates that happened every 10 or 15 minutes or so. And a couple of times those debates ended with a handshake or a friendly pat on the back or on the shoulder. Once it ended with a hug. And so I have to say that the news is not reporting this. What I experienced was, I'm going to say inspiring, because it reminded me that if you're going to promote your First Amendment rights to gather and assemble and protest, you have to embrace that those that you don't agree with will do the same. And sometimes they're going to do it very close to you, if not among you. And so as Trump supporter and protester stood side by side and debated outside of that event on Saturday, I saw what I can only describe as respectful disagreement. Yes, sometimes the debate ended with shouting and yelling. Yes, it was frustrating and people were angry, but at no time did anybody try to censor the other, and at no time did anybody try to physically smack the other down. And I think that is admirable, especially in Arizona, when on top of the narrative I just described about how violent these protests outside of a Trump rally could be, in Arizona even more so, we're characterized as like the Wild West out here. Everybody has a gun, and if you disagree with somebody, it could end in an old-fashioned high noon shootout or something like that. Hey, that's just the exaggerated stereotype of the state, and nothing like that happened at this debate. It was very interesting, as you heard. There was some music. Somebody busted out the old guitar and sang some songs with modified lyrics to protest Trump. So that was very interesting. Somebody handed me a clown nose, I presume an effigy of the circus Trump is traveling in around the country. I don't know. Those are my words, not the protesters, but it seems to make sense. Her shirt, in fact, said you can't spell crazy without AZ, Arizona. So, I mean, at the very least, she was just there in solidarity with how nuts things can be. And that's what I'm all about, highlighting the uncanny conflict that helps define Arizona's importance in the national conversation. That's what my self-published mini comic is all about, Amazing Arizona Comics. Yes, sprinkled with a little superhero adventure. But I sought that out at this protest, and I was not disappointed. So I hope you enjoyed my my pregame thoughts there and some of the audio I captured. All of my thoughts are at karaokefanboypress.com. And this was just to wrap up the audio piece. So thanks for listening. You could follow me on Instagram as well, at AmazingAZComics. That's where you'll see some pictures from the protest that didn't make the blog, and just some general promotion for my artistic projects and other stuff that I think is cool. So thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time on My Manic Midday Monologue.